So good afternoon, everybody. For those of you who don't know me, yes, I did rent a crowd because there are a lot of familiar faces in the room, and it's great to see you. I'm Lenore Kerrigan. I'm country manager for Open Text Africa. And we've only got 20 minutes together, and I know it's been a long day. Feet are sore. It's after lunch. And when I was thinking about this presentation today and what was going to be of value, particularly to the audience from a data-centric perspective, that I could talk about in 20 minutes, I was thinking of the movie house. And when I think of, I was here, in fact, in the suburb when this whole complex was built. And I can even remember going to movie houses in the center of Joburg when that was the time we could see any pictures about the news, and it was in black and white. So I really age myself. And somebody told me today I'm one of the geezers in the industry. So I figure I actually can't argue about that. Okay, I've obviously got to put the safe harbor, so don't tell anybody that I told you anything. Right. So let's have a look at sci-fi. I'm sure that there are movies on this slide that many of you could probably think about or recognize. I would hope certainly in the far left-hand corner, not that many of you, but as we go up, the right-hand corner brings quite a lot of memories. And I remember poo-pooing many of these movies and some of the concepts. I mean, Star Trek was really where we first started hearing about the cell phone. And I remember having conversations about how invasive that would be in our lives. Who would ever have something like that? And today, in fact, we can't live without the cell phone. And just actually, as I was standing up here a moment ago, was just anyone remember old Knight Rider with Michael Knight and his car? And he would call his car and his watch, and then the self-driving car would come up to him? Science fiction or reality? It's quite a scary thought, because at the time when we were watching those TV shows, it did seem like complete and utter science fiction, and that was in my lifetime. So again, let the old geezer share with you my lifetime in the IT industry. I remember my dad used to work on the mainframes, and as a little sort of 3 or 4 year old, I used to go with him to fix the mainframes. And in fact, the mainframes at IBM were in Rissick Street behind these big glass windows so that everybody could drive past and oogle over these wonderful computers. And so we saw these mainframes becoming more and more prolific until somebody shot at them and they had to move them into the basement because they thought the aliens were coming. A true story. The mainframes were shot at in Johannesburg because people thought that this was moving into a whole new world that we couldn't deal with. And then we moved into the client-server era, and then I remember I was talking about this thing called the internet. What is the internet? What is the benefit of the internet? Who would want to use the internet? What is this thing about? I guess I don't need to tell you a whole lot more. And now we go into this era of cloud. We're talking about digital. There's been a huge amount of digital. And then going on into artificial intelligence. I guess all I want to show you here is about how much of this is reality when we start talking about things like artificial intelligence and where it's going, and explore that a little bit further. So I'm not going to repeat a lot of what is said this morning, but first of all, we have this generational shift. The first thing we've got to look at is us as humans. Some of us adopt to change really quickly. Some of us have a real problem adopting to change, and we actually will not admit it. It's the reality. Half of the problem is admitting it. And you need to look at the boardroom. They're all geezers like myself. Some of them don't even want to use an iPad. Scary stuff. So we need to think about this generation. We need to think about these millennials that are coming in. I'll share a story, so let's look at the generational shift. Here was my dad fixing mainframes, literally with wires and plugs. My daughter is a data scientist. She works for Deloitte. She's 26 years old. She's working on confidential projects that she can't tell anybody about. But in the last 5 months, she's been to Thailand, Hong Kong, Sydney, Tel Aviv 3 times, and off to Washington next week. And she talks a language about, well, I'm just going to take it into Hadoop, and then I'm going to pull in the Twitter feed, and then I'm going to rebuild it based on the Facebook profile, and then I will just quickly with Python and often whatever, okay? And this is what our millennials are able to do with data today. So we need to understand the humans, the power of the human, the power of experience of the old geezers, and the opportunity and ability to learn and to actually make this stuff real sits in these new, young, inquiring minds that are able to go out and make this happen. Just set them free, identify who they are, and let them drive that. Robotics, I'm going to talk a little bit more about, but I think we're seeing a lot happening in robotics. One thing talking about it, but the other thing is talking about the practicality of what we're going to do with it in our businesses. And software. We have seen so many examples about the Ubers, the B&Bs, all of that. Fundamentally, all of these new businesses, digital businesses, are software companies. We are looking at brick and mortar companies becoming software companies. We've heard today, we know about infrastructure. We know it can be, whether it's in the cloud, whether it's in your data center, all that sort of thing. But the real value is being driven by these software companies. And that's where you need to think about your own role. You need to think about your organization. And for heaven's sake, please think about your children and what they're doing and where they're going. But if we have a look at this revolution, we're talking about time, speed. We've heard about that this morning. And we're looking at this incredibly huge amount of connected and interconnected devices. The challenge is there is no way, I believe, that any one of us in this room could actually come up with an accurate number of how many connected devices you have in your home. I reckon you will only come up with 20% of them. We don't even realize how many connected devices are out there. We have people today that have PhDs in machine learning. Those devices are machines, whether we're talking about your fridge, whether we are talking about the toothbrush that's coming out, all of those kind of things. The learning that is coming out of the activity from those particular devices is creating this data that we talk about, but what are we doing with it? And that is the reality. The next thing is looking at business models. Now, for my sins, and I will own up and I apologize, I'm a chartered accountant and I'm very sorry. But you know, chartered accountants were taught about debits and credits and revenue and gross profit and margins and all these kind of things. And yes, I qualified the old geezer a long time ago. I remember when Google came out and I said to my husband, I said to him, how do you value a click? How do you value a pixel? And to many of my colleagues. And they said, well, why would you want to value that? There is no value. Hello? Let's look at the top five companies by market cap over the last 20 years. And if we have a look in the last 5 year cycles, from about 2000, there was always one tech company out of the top five. In 2016, and in fact the graphic's going around LinkedIn at the moment, you can look at it yourself. In 2016, five out of five of the top market cap companies are all tech companies. And how many of those top companies from 20 years ago do not even exist today? And many have been mentioned. So there is a lot to be thought about when we start thinking about reinventing business models. We heard a lot about free, and people don't like to give things away free. So everything is transforming. We have a look at cloud. How do we do the business models on cloud? What is the true cost? What is the capital cost? What is the investment cost? What is the return? It's driving a very different thinking, and I can tell you what, these young accountants today are thinking in a very, very different way to our traditional CFOs. And there is a challenge in your organizations to make sure that we're having this new business model type of thinking and way of accounting. Now, I could give you examples in many industries. I'm just going to focus on two right now because they're aligned, just to bring the point home in the short space of time. The financial service industry is in absolute turmoil. And there is fundamental change taking place. Now, my husband, who's pretty much my age, so again, another old geezer, I guess he'll be used to me saying that. I have to tell you, when we go to a restaurant and the bill comes and it doesn't have Zappa or SnapScan on it, he gets really irritated because he has to get his wallet out. And here's an old geezer. Forget about the youngsters in the market. They expect to be able to pay that way. So what is happening, and if you listen to Darby Root, I was at a business breakfast of his last week, Michael Yordan was there as well, and he really gave a great presentation on the history of money, literally from bartering stage to where we are today, where we talk about bitcoins and we're talking about community-based type funding. And in fact, I've not had too much time to study it because it's only come out quite recently, but does everybody know what an aura is? Do we know about Aranya? You know that kind of, I don't know what you call it, a lager? I don't know what it is. Those guys have come up with their own currency called an aura because they're a closed community. They will operate like a chamber and they've created their own currency. Now think about that. What is that going to do to an economy? And now we're looking at an unregulated kind of environment with bringing up a new financial policy. How is government going to govern something like that? So these are the fundamental changes that we're seeing that's happening right now. Insurance. I don't think we even need an insurance industry. So think about that community. So when you hand over your money to an insurance company, it's because something might happen or something will happen. So I'm either going to crash my car or I'm going to die sometime. And I want to know that I can get some money back. But what about doing some kind of community type of insurance? Where it could be you've got a really big family. That ain't going to work for me. I don't have any family. But it could be, for example, within an own large conglomerate business, that your insurance, you each become people on a blockchain. If you think about blockchain, which is highly secure, where you create your own insurance on that and you draw against that insurance in a trusted environment, and when there are excess funds in that insurance, it gets paid back to the actual stakeholders. You think of all the chaos over votes. That's another great example for blockchain. Wonderful way to do voting in a country. And in fact, Darby said something quite profound last week. He said, well, why do we even need countries? Because you don't need central banks anymore. You don't need banks. It's putting the power into the hands of the people. And now you can't regulate this. So do we really have countries at the end of this? So this, for me, makes us think fundamentally about the kind of businesses that we have. And I think what is important is to consider not only looking at how one is reinventing and the effect of digitization within the businesses as we know it. And that's what worries me. We keep considering what we should be changing as we know it. I was asked to do a presentation to the Johannesburg Stock Exchange, I think it was 2 years ago, to kind of make people feel a little bit uncomfortable. And it was, my presentation was Disrupt or Die. And I was trying to think, where could they be disrupted from? And I said, well, what about online gaming? Think about it. There's a massive community of very young people who are high risk, who are very digital, who move massive amounts of money very quickly and very reactively. Today, we have a digital stock exchange and another one coming, I believe. That was 2 years ago. So you need to think it could be coming from some completely right field situation that you're not expecting. Anybody know this series? Okay. So we've spoken about a lot of concepts. Let's talk about a reality now. Now, for those of you who don't, you've got the guy who's sideways on. He's the geek. He's the data scientist with his data farm. And the other guy is the ex-CIA, good-looking, do-good guy, he's good guy. So effectively what the geek does is he does a whole lot of analytics within his computing environment, and yes, he goes and pulls in some data from some CIA, FBI, defense databases that he's not supposed to get into, so it's all obviously a little bit out there. And he pulls all this data together, and then this data starts showing him a whole lot of patterns. And this data says, Trish Dix. And he then contacts his hunky guy, and he says, I think you better go and watch Trish Dix. Something's going to happen to Trish Dix. I don't know what it is, but something's going to happen. And off this guy goes and he trails her. Now he's not quite sure, is she going to be robbed, murdered, whatever, or maybe she's going to rob or murder, not quite sure, that's not 100% accurate, and he saves the day. Now I want you to think about this, just take the financial and services industry. The information that you have in your organizations today to be able to do that kind of predictive work for your business actually exists. But the problem is that information sits out there in all these little pools of information. We talk about big data. To me, it's just a whole a plethora of data out there without any meaning. What we need to do is get all that information into a data lake, which is one central environment of structured, unstructured, transactional images, documents, voice, everything into one environment, and you can now start getting that intelligence. They reckon 68 clicks to get to know more about you than your friends and family know about you based on the information there today. You should be able to know which one of your staff members are about to resign at least 3 months before they resign. You should be able to know which of your customers are going to churn long before they churn. Because don't waste your time sending out a customer survey. It's going to be a point in time meaningless. You should have the information to know something is going wrong or something is going right. We are not doing it in our organizations because we're not doing anything with the data. So I'm not going to go into this in the interest of time, but if we have a look at what's happening with things like robotics, we've got houses now that can be built in 2.5 days from 3D printing. So the reality is here, who should be looking at their business? Well, first of all, the logistics companies, because they're going to have driverless vehicles, and no longer are their customers, should they be calling on the people who make bricks, they should be finding out who's supplying plastic. So your customer is going to fundamentally change. We have a look at what's happening in the medical industry. We saw something this morning. It's absolutely groundbreaking. But what's important is to understand the machines that matter in your business, the impact of things like solar, those kind of things, and what is the information that you're pulling in there. So do you have the PhDs in machine learning? Do you have the data scientists in your organization that is making sure that you're getting that information into your data lake, which we're able to give you real information? A very quick one, when we talk about moving to a software company, the Hubble telescope, for example, has something like, I think it's 3 million lines of code. If you have a look at a Boeing 787, it's got something like 14 million lines of code. And the cars today, these top cars that we're seeing, has got 100 million lines of code. So if you don't believe that everything is going software, and by the way, they recently did and on the negative side, they had a stunt driver in one of the maker's cars, and they hacked the car and were able to take him off the road. So security is another whole subject in itself, but it's a reality. We can't be scared of it. We've got to go for it. So in closing, anybody recognize this series? Westworld, a more recent series, and it might make a lot of people in the room feel very, very uncomfortable. This will never happen. This is absolute rubbish. It's too out there. 3D printing, do we have it today? Is that 3D printing? Okay. Are we already able to make body parts today for lives? Okay. Do we have robotics today? Do we have artificial intelligence today? So why can't this happen? So it's one thing that we can watch these things in science fiction and we can say to ourselves, it's science fiction, it's out there, it'll never happen, it's stupid, the world's going to die, we're going to fall off the end of the world. You know what? It's happened. It's already happening today. It's how we embrace it. It's how we own this, how we make our lives better as we go forward from this. And yes, there are going to be negative elements that come out of these things. But again, the sooner we embrace it, the better we can make sure that we do take time to look at what we can do to get the positive side instead of the negative side. So as said earlier, do we have the skills? Free up your talent, hire the right talent, build the right talent, make sure it makes us more productive. The human experience is what it's all about, because that's where the whole mobile phone went. Decisions are going to be data-driven and solve specific problems. We are evolving. We are living in a world of technology, humans and technology alike. Oops. So that's what we do as Open Text. I'm not going to tell you about that. It's more interesting to think about it. We help you create that data lake, bringing that information together, because if artificial intelligence is not a bolt-on, you can only get artificial intelligence and real meaningful decision-making insight from your business if you understand all the information that you have in your business. Your business models change. They will fundamentally change. You need to think of the impact of your old models, of the old thinking, and the impact of your old business in order to drive a true digital, successful business of the future. Platform, applications, and cognitive is the combination of what is going to drive your science fiction tomorrow, not next decade, tomorrow. Thank you.